Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has stated in the Qur'ani Hakim, سَبَّحَ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ صَدَقَ اللَّهُ الْعَظِيمُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has presented to us a sketch of this whole universe, that everything in the universe, it is hidden from us. But only if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explain something to us or make something apparent to us, then we know what that thing is. Allah ta'ala has presented the reality of this world to us, this earth we live in, the heavens, the skies, whatever's in the heavens or whatever we see in the dunya or the things that are in the dunya that are in front of us. These are dhahiri, apparent things. Allah ta'ala has mentioned them, defined these things to us, especially the mu'mineen, the people of iman. Allah ta'ala has praised, Allah has defined, Allah has explained the things that He has created, so we understand the reality of His creation. Subhanallah. And this definition Allah ta'ala has given to the people of iman who read the Qur'an, who accept the Qur'an, who understand the Qur'an. They then understand and realize the true essence of everything that Allah ta'ala has made. Iman has a great, great purpose, because once a person has iman in the heart, then he has the understanding of the Qur'an. And in the Qur'an Hakim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has presented the greatest reality to us that we could never think of, that we couldn't understand, we couldn't even contemplate. What is that? Allah ta'ala stated that this earth I've created, the universe, look at the skies, go beyond the skies, there's another heaven, then there's another heaven, then there's other existences, and there are other forms of creation. And Allah ta'ala says that there's the angels that I've created, and they have muqamat, they have status, they have levels, they have ranks, they have duties. There are some angels who are continuously immersed in nur. What do we know about these things? Allah ta'ala has told us this in the Quran. But we don't understand. If Allah ta'ala doesn't tell us, we won't understand. Then Allah ta'ala points towards the earth that we live on. The solid earth we live on. 60, 70, 80 years we drink, eat, get up, sleep. Allah ta'ala says you do everything. You don't know the reality of the world. That you take the cow, you slaughter it, eat meat. You take the goat, slaughter it, eat the meat. Take all of the chicken, eat an egg. You take the honeybee and you get the honey from the honeybee. And that's all we know is consumption, consumption. We don't know the reality beyond this. So Allah Ta'ala said that the biggest point here is that you don't know where is my makhluk, my creation. Where is it and how is it? My makhluk, my creation. My makhluk is such that your eyes, forget your eyes, even if you put on extra super powerful glasses, and you will not be able to see the creation that I've made. You won't even know that how many forms of creation I've made. They are hidden. They are concealed. Allah Ta'ala said the heavens, the earth, everything in the heavens, everything in the earth, all of the forms of creation, we consider it as dead, without life, without purpose. And as we're walking, running around, we're walking around through a garden, we break the flower. As we're walking through the fields, we break the twigs and the branches of the trees. Some people start breaking the leaves. And if you're sitting on the grass, you start just pulling on the grass. For us, it's nothing. Allah Ta'ala says, no, this is my makhluk. This is my creation. Don't disturb my creation. What are they saying to you? Are they affecting you? You think that you are the landowner? You are the money owner, the asset owner, and that's it? You and you alone and nothing else? Allah Ta'ala says, listen carefully. Everything in the universe, everything knows me, that I am the Rabb, the Creator, that I am the Malik, the owner, I have created, I am the Qadir, the Mutlaq, I am Kareem. Everything in the universe recognizes and identifies me, says Allah. From the small item to the biggest item. You know, if you look at the little ant, or let's take something like a little mosquito that's flying through there, even the mosquito knows its Rabb, Allah. And what is their duty? That everything that's in the universe, in between the heavens and the earth, سَبَّحَ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. Allah Ta'ala says, everything does my dhikr. Everything remembers me. Everything remembers me. Introduction. This is the introduction of the universe. Tell me, did we know? We think a leaf, we study biology, chemistry, and we'll just take it to that extent. But they are beyond that. The forms of creation are beyond that. Allah Ta'ala says that if you look at aql, the intellect, my understanding and brain, that is not the end point. That is the beginning. The end point is where? Where is the end point? That when the person starts to ascend the steps of the Quranic meaning. When he starts to ascend the steps, the journey of the Quran, and he goes towards his destination, then he understands the reality of life. Then all of the uloom is left behind, and he then immerses himself or herself into the life of ma'rifah, the nearness of Allah. So Allah Ta'ala is defining here, explaining here, mentioning here, everything. Sabbaha lillahi ma fis samawati wa ma fil ard. In the heavens and the earth, there is nothing. There's nothing that doesn't have life except the dead things. Aha. So everything has life, everything has a purpose, and everything is calling Allah. Remembering Allah. Whatever we see, anything, even the smallest of ants, the smallest of spiders within the blackness of the darkness in the rocks in the middle of the night, if it's walking, Allah Ta'ala says, I know the signs that the footprints of that small spider is leaving. Subhanallah. Halim, Khabir, Hakim. Allah says, I know. What is the system within that spider? Who's going to feed it? How much life is left? How many breaths is left? Who's its children? And where will it lay its eggs? And where will those eggs break? We don't even know where that spider is living. Well, Allah Ta'ala says, why is that alive? Why is that spider walking? Why do I see that spider? For this reason, that it remembers me and I remember it. Subhanallah. Look at the relationship Allah Ta'ala has with His makhluk. This is ma'rifah. This is the nearness to Allah. This is the reality that Allah Ta'ala is making apparent to us. That Allah Ta'ala is unraveling the reality. That look, it's not just eating and drinking. We think it's just eating and drinking and then we pass away and then there's janazah and we're buried and that's it. That's not life. Allah Ta'ala says, this is life. Ask the ant, that what is the purpose of your life? Ask the spider, what is the purpose of your life? Ask them. Ask any form of creation, what is your reality? And it will turn to you and say, my reality is that I recognize my Lord. I remember my Lord. This is my tasbih. A bird that flies in the earth, in the air, in the world, how it is remembering Allah while it is flying and fluttering its wings. Subhanallah. And if you look at something with understanding, then everything will point to the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything will point to the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, Sabbaha lillahi ma fis samawati. Everything that is in the heavens and the earth remembers Allah. Allah says it clearly. Except the dead people. Except those who are dead. So where do we fit into all of this? There's a question mark here, or it's just come to my mind, or you can also think of this. Where is insan? Where is the human being? Where are we in relation to all of the other forms of creation in the heavens and the earth? Where do we live? So we live on the earth. And the Quran is saying that everything in the heavens and the earth remembers me. Is this not the case? So there's nothing in the universe that does not remember Allah, is there? There's nothing in the universe that does not remember Allah. Allah is saying everything remembers me. Every creature except the dead people. Except the dead forms of creation. So everything that has life in the heavens and the earth, Allah says is remembering me. Is remembering me. So what we realize, this is a unique, you could say, way of thinking, that the person who believes in Allah, the individual, is alive. The person who believes and remembers Allah, who accepts Allah as the Rabb, man or woman, child or old person, youth or old person, person who's ill or healthy, from this it is apparent that that person is a dhakir, who believes in Allah and remembers Allah. How can we say that that person is not doing dhikr? How can we say that the child is not doing dhikr? Isn't it a unique point I'm presenting? How can you say that this person doesn't do the dhikr of Allah? The Quran says everything does my dhikr. So how can I say that this person doesn't do dhikr? He's not a dhakir. If Allah has said it in the Quran, then obviously, most definitely, every person who has iman, those people who don't have iman, they are lost. What do they know? That they don't believe in Allah. So how will they know what to do? How do they know that they have to do dhikr or not do dhikr? But the person who believes in Allah, who has the yaqeen and iman, will do the dhikr of Allah. Sabbaha lillahi ma fis samawati wa ma fil ard. Was Allah saying in the Quran, everything in the heaven and the earth, in the heavens and the earth that has belief in Allah is remembering Allah. So Allah has said it clearly, and so this is haq and truth. Allah Himself has prepared for the people of iman that every person who has iman is a dhakir and does dhikr of Allah. Every person who has iman. How? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us those kalamat those things to recite, that they make our life really purposeful. And without that, we have no meaning of existence. Our time doesn't pass. There's no purpose. And what kalamat is that? What kalama is that? Such a great kalama, such a great verse, that it was sent for us for dhikr, for the human being. Allah Ta'ala sent such a great kalama from the heavens, that when that verse was revealed, then the whole universe shook. The wind stopped, the mountains, they were witnessing such greatness, and the oceans and the seas and the rivers, they stopped suddenly to see, and the birds stopped, and shaitan was shaken. And that is how this kalama was revealed, that makes every mu'min a dhakir, every person who believes a dhakir. This is the greatness of this kalama. Hazrat Ali karamallahu wajh radiyallahu anhu said that when this kalama was revealed, then the mountains in Makkah themselves, we heard those mountains ourselves, that due to the barakah of that kalama, those mountains started to recite that dhikr. So one of the mushrikeen of Makkah, when they heard this, then from their mouths only one thing emanated. Oh, is Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, has he cast his spell on these people as well, and on these mountains? This is his spell, that these mountains are also reciting this kalima. Such a great kalima, due to which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that every person who has iman becomes a dhakir. Every person who is a believer, who believes in Allah, automatically, consciously or unconsciously, knowingly, unknowingly, he becomes a dhakir, a person who is remembering Allah, and he is remembering Allah in the highest form, in the best way. How can it be that a person who has iman and he's not remembering Allah, she's not remembering Allah? If a spider remembers Allah, can a person of iman not remember Allah? Of course he can. Of course she can. I say that this verse proves this. A great kalima Allah Ta'ala revealed to us. The barakah, the blessings, the weight of this kalima, of this verse is so great. Of this dhikr is so great. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said that with this every verse recitation, with every word of this kalima, 4,000 deeds are attained, 4,000 ranks are increased for that person's reward, and 4,000 sins are eliminated from his book of deeds. This is the abundance and the power of this kalima. What is this kalima? The great kalima. What is the recitation? What is this dhikr that Allah Ta'ala has given to us, due to which we've become dhakir? Even if we don't know we are dhakir, and we don't know we've become dhakir, we started to do dhikr. What is that? Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Subhanallah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Or Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this kalima. To this ummah, Hazrat Musa alayhi salam was told by Allah that, oh Musa, I have given to my Habib's ummah three things. Hazrat Musa alayhi salam said, what are those three names, Allah, due to which they are afdal, they are great as an ummah? Allah ta'ala said three names: Allah, Rahman, and Rahim. Allah, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. These are three great names. Before this, I've not allocated these three names to any ummah, any nation before the ummah of my Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I'm giving these three. So there was a person standing there. He said, such a great kalima, Mawla, my Rabb. So can I not ask a dua from you, Allah, because I'm blind? Can my eyes, for the sake of these kalimas, be cured? And his eyesight came back to him. Such a barakat, such blessings, karam, mercy, this kalima that Allah Ta'ala has given to us, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Due to the barakah of Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, nobody is staying away, or nobody loses or cannot claim to be a dhakir. You know, when we say to children, we say, oh Bismillah, even if we hit someone by mistake, we say, oh Bismillah. There are excuses due to which this kalama comes out of our mouth during the day. There are many excuses Allah Ta'ala has given to us due to which we recite this kalama. This kalama is attached to the person of iman and a mu'min, that every child knows that this kalama is easy. It is great. So many ranks, so many barakat due to this kalima, so many rewards we attain. But Allah Ta'ala has made it so easy for a mu'min to recite it, that every one of us recites this kalima. And how many rewards do we get by reciting Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim? How many rewards are attained by reciting this kalima? And how many rewards will there be in the hereafter for saying Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim? We cannot imagine. So Allah Ta'ala, His deen is haq, His way is haq. And Allah Ta'ala's mention in the Quran, every verse is haq. And Allah said clearly that everything in the heavens and the earth remembers me, except those that are deceased. And every man and woman, every believer knows this kalam. And we read this kalam. So, when a person recites this kalama once, look at the fadilat, look at the blessings. How many times we do wudu? We start it with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. We recite it, don't we? Unknowingly we recite it. We're going into the bathroom or to the wudu area. Nobody tells you, instructs you, you say Bismillah ar-Rahman. When a person does wudu, he says it, doesn't he? What does he attain? What does that person achieve by saying this kalama? When a person starts wudu with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, and there's an angel who is next to that person, he sees that kalama being recited from the believer, and he grabs hold of that kalama that has been recited. And as long as that person is in the ablution state, in the state of wudu, due to the bismillah barakat of his reciting bismillah, he is getting good deeds to his record. And so much so, to the extent that if that person, if for example a woman has wudu, and then she becomes pregnant with that wudu, then the child that is born, and then that child is born, another child is born, another generation comes, another generation, the amount of breaths within those humans, that is the amount of good deeds that that person will attain. Do you understand? Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allah Ta'ala, has he not said correctly that every mu'min is a dhakir with the fadl of Allah, with the blessings of Allah? A person passed away, and he didn't have any deeds. He did not practice correctly, and the order was send him to Jahannam, to the hellfire. Then he was called. Allah Ta'ala called him, bring him back. Ask him that let's sift through the deeds. Because Allah Ta'ala's rahmah, mercy, seeks excuses to give forgiveness. So Allah Ta'ala said, look, let's sift through the deeds, his actions. Maybe something good will come out. Maybe he can succeed. So they look in his hands, his feet, his limbs, that what he did in the world while he was living. And they say, Allah, there's nothing. Then at the end, when they looked at his tongue, on his tongue with the nurani, with the illuminated words, it was written, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allah said, how can this person go to Jahannam? Can he go to Jahannam? He's free. He's free into paradise. So Imam Razi rahmatullahi alayhi has written some beautiful explanation of that. When a person changes his clothes, and while a person changes the clothes, you say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. This is a habit. Not that we're doing dhikr, but we're just saying Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. When the person changes his attire and says Bismillah, due to the Bismillah, the jinnat, they become, there's an obstacle. The Bismillah becomes an obstacle between that person and the jinn and shaitan. So when a person in the world says Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, if a barrier wall is built between that human being who's recited it and changing the clothes and the jinnah shaitan, so then can it not happen that the angels that will be there to take the person into hellfire, will the wall not be built between the mu'min and those angels so that he does not go into hellfire? Of course. Such a great kalama. What are the barakat of this? Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. And why is there barakah blessings in this kalama? For one reason. The word Allah. That this is the dhikr for the whole universe. Allah. And the whole universe is in existence due to this dhikr of Allah. Bismillah. Why is there power and blessings and mercies in this kalama? Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Because of the word Allah. And that's why everyone in the universe is a dhakir, because of the word Allah that is contained in this kalima. So if we understand, realize the haqq of this, and have a love for this dhikr, and have appreciation for dhikr, and a value for dhikr, and we do shukr to Allah, and we include this in our life for one reason, Allah. The word Allah, the name Allah, the dhikr Allah, not one, millions and billions, subhanallah, of blessings. And look how many thousands and tens of thousands of walis there were who passed in this world due to recitation of the word Allah. Look at this chain of the Naqshbandi teachers and the other chains of teachers. Where does their teaching end? On the name Ism-i Adham, Allah. When a person grabs this name, grabs the Ism of Allah, that is where the success lies. What a great, great, great piece of advice. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the person who grabs my name, who joins himself to my name, then how will I leave that person? How will I leave that person? I can never leave that person. So we have to have qadr. We have to value and appreciate. But we don't have qadr. We don't value and appreciate. We don't even know what is Bismillah. Allah, I've just said Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allah Ta'ala has given us this kalama as a gift. What do we do with this kalama? How do we utilize it? How do we benefit from it? We don't understand. You know, if I say to someone, look, do dhikr Allah, just the word Allah. They say, is that it? Allah? I say, don't you understand the weight and power of this word, this ism, this name of Allah, and this reality? Do the dhikr, then tell me what you feel. You see the anwarat come into your heart and life. Allah will give you elevation and rank and status. Hazafi Rahmatullah, if I tell you his event, I will have told you this before. Hafi is a person who has bare feet. So he was a man who lived in a certain time and he was always drunk. And his lifestyle was just drinking alcohol. He wasn't conscious ever. Once he was walking along in the street drunk, as per normal, and he saw Allah Ta'ala's name was written on a piece of something on the floor. He said, Allah's name. And he picked up that piece of paper. He kissed it. He put fragrance on it, on that name that was written on the paper. He pressed it to his chest, heart, and then he placed it on a high wall or high place with adab, with manners. And this is the initiation of tasawwuf. Remember, adab is the start point of tasawwuf, not tasbih, dhikr. If you don't have adab, then you are an animal. We come to the dhikr and to the path of tasawwuf to learn adab. He didn't do tasbih, he didn't pray, he didn't do tahajjud. He was drunk at that time. What did he have? He had adab, my brothers. He had manners. My brothers, learn manners. Manners. And manners is such a thing that all the sahaba ikram, without learning, without reading Quran, how did they know that? How to speak to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, how to see him, how to look at him, how to start the question, how to ask for dua, how to speak with manners to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, how to sit in front of him. All of this was adab. Kullun adab. Tasawwuf, you know, to get to Allah Ta'ala, the ladder, the first thing is adab. Adab, the person who has pride cannot have adab. He will be rude. In his speech, he will be rude. He won't care about the masjid. He won't have respect for the masjid. We won't have the respect for Allah Ta'ala's name. So be careful. Many people fail. Many dhakirin fail. They drop in the levels due to not having adab. So he did adab with the name of Allah. And the person who doesn't even have the adab, that there's a gathering of dhikr of Allah, and he does dhikr himself, and he doesn't know how to speak, he doesn't know how to talk, he should do astaghfar. He should repent. Allah Ta'ala will be displeased with him that he's sitting, a person who attends majlis, dhikr, and he is disrespectful, rude, he doesn't have manners, he doesn't know how to speak, doesn't have to have a discussion. Nothing. First thing a person, a murid, should learn, a salik, a traveler, should learn adab. Adab. That how do you attend? How do you sit with your sheikh? How do you speak with your sheikh? How do you ask him something? How do you request something? How do you initiate the discussion? This is the first step of the soul. Adab, manners. Otherwise, the murid can never succeed. Ibadat, worship are second. The teacher who teaches you, his respect comes first. After adab for the teacher, then you are the student and you learn. This is what we are taught in the history of Islam, and the Quran teaches this. Be very careful, because you are all students, you are travelers, you are seeking the closeness of Allah. I'm telling you, the person who loses out in adab, person doesn't know how to sit, how to talk, how to discuss, how to go to his teacher, his sheikh, how to speak with the manners, how to look at the teacher, what are the manners of the majlis, of the gathering, what are the adab, how to speak, how to sit, how to discuss, how to meet. I'm not telling this. The kitabs are written on this. Principles are laid down on this. The great mashayikh have explained this. Akabirin have explained this. And this is where a person fails. This is where a person fails. To this extent, it's written, Hazrat Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi said, that you don't even know that how to pick up the shoes of the sheikh. That's why beware, not every person should touch the shoes of the sheikh. You think that you're elevating your status, you're increasing your status, rather you're going lower in your status. So there's been strict, firm advice, and that's why I say to Hazrat that this is not my habit. I don't even like that somebody stands for me or touches my shoes or opens the doors for me. I don't prefer this. And if a person doesn't prefer this, then rather than do the action, if you follow the opposite, then you'll go down in your levels. Understand and recognize the habits and the desire and the preference of your sheikh. This is not my preference. You stand for me, or you open the doors for me, or you pick up the shoes for me, or you do such traditions. I don't like these actions. I'm not saying it's not permissible. MashaAllah, Sufi Hazrat. But just personally speaking, I don't prefer these actions. Anyway, I tell people time and time again, repeat, Hazrat Thanvi Ramtai said that picking up the shoes, to pick up the shoes of the wali wala, you need extreme adab. You need manners, and we don't even know how to pick up the shoes. And how does he explain? There's a race to pick up the shoes of the sheikh. The person, the sheikh wants to put the shoes on, and someone's grabbing the shoe from the right, from the left, and he's distressed that he wants to put the shoes on, and people are wasting his time. Sometimes it happens, the Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullah said, that sometimes it happens that the person's trying to pick up the shoes and serve the teacher, but he then goes and takes the shoes to where he wants to put them down, and the sheikh is looking for the shoes. Where my shoes gone? I took my shoes off here. Where have they gone? So you have to be very careful with adab, with manners. The person who doesn't have adab, he cannot travel on the path of suluk. He is a jahil. He's like an animal. Doesn't matter how much dhikr he does. Coming in, sitting down, speaking, looking. The tasawwuf, my brothers, if you want to attain Allah Ta'ala's nearness, I'm giving you the misal. Hazahawi rahmatullahi. He started off his journey of life with adab. A person who has adab with the teacher, then he will follow the path of success towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's nearness. But we can't follow our desires, do this, I don't have to do this, no. Everything has a principle, a rule, a regulation, and every shaykh teaches this to their students. Explains, mentions, kitabs have been written about adab. Adab, definitely do khidmat for the wali of Allah, for the shaykh, for the teacher, but according to the principles and the sunnah actions, not our desires. So adab, Hazrat Habib Abdullah, he was drunk at that time, he was a sinner, he saw the name of Allah, he was a fasiq at that time, he was zindiq. What did he do? He saw the name of Allah. He picked it up, he kissed it with adab, and he put it in a high location, in a high place. Then he left in his drunken state and he carried on his way. And the wali of Allah in his locality, this is written in the kitabs, read the history, the wali of his time, who was a qutb of his time, Allah Ta'ala gave him inspiration in his dream, ilham, that go to this person, Havi, and go to his company. His name was Bashar, the sheikh. He said, Allah Ta'ala inspired him, that go to him and inform him that Allah has given you the highest rank. So his eyes opened. He said, Bashir? He's a drunken person. Why should I go to him? Maybe shaitan has come to my dream and he forgot what he said. Next day, same dream. Allah Ta'ala inspired him again. Go to him because he elevated my name, so I've elevated him amongst my creation. There's a point my Hazrat Rahmatullah mentioned it, that the person who elevates Allah Ta'ala's name, Allah elevates him in this world and everywhere else. So this is all about elevation, adab, manners, increasing the rank, the status. Have you come here to increase your rank or to decrease your rank? Have you come here to elevate the masjid and Allah Ta'ala's name or to decrease it? How sad if a person doesn't have manners and has disrespect for dhikr. My Hazrat Rahmatullah said that the person who elevates, increases the rank of Allah, at the height of Allah Ta'ala's name, then Allah Ta'ala elevates that person. So the third day, he said, oh, this was maybe a thought. He came the third time that this is reality. This is truth. When he saw the dream for the third day, Allah Ta'ala said, Bashar, I've chosen you. You are my wali. I've written your name in the list of my walis, and not just like any normal way, I've elevated you to the heights. So he was drunk at that time. He went home first to his house. He said, maybe he's sitting in some corner, drunk, sleeping in a drunken state. So he said, how can I go to his home? Obviously it's apparent to go to such a place, or he's sitting in a place where people drink, it's difficult for pious people to read. But it was hukam, order, so he reached there. He said, is there Bashar Saab here? He said, oh, he's lying down there, he's drunk, he's not even awake. He said, I need to speak in his ears that there's a person outside, please tell him he's come for a message. He's come to you with a message, just tell him that in his ears. So somebody went and said, Bashar, that from our area, a person, he's a pious person in our locality, he's looking for you, he's asking for you, about you. And he's saying that I've come with a message from Allah. He said, a message from Allah for me? What message from Allah? He said, it can't be a lie. He's a friend of Allah, wali of Allah. He's a pious person, for sure. So Allah's message has come for me. He became amazed, shocked. And he was in a drunken state. He said, Allah, I seek forgiveness from you. Forgive me. He was drunk and he said this. Allah, I do true tawbah to you. Subhanallah. How Allah Ta'ala elevates the man. Because everything that a person attains is due to what? Tawbah and due to the manners he had. So a person who wants to do dhikr, who wants to get close to Allah, first he has to do tawbah, repentance. Tawbah cleans a person. So he was still drunk, he didn't have wudu, he didn't do ghusl. He said, Allah, I ask you for forgiveness for all of my sins. Allah, forgive me, Allah, forgive me. Allah said, Subhanallah, go, I forgive all of your sins. So we learn and realize that wherever a person is, whatever he's doing, however sinful he is, doesn't have to go to a mosque, to a masjid or a special place to ask for forgiveness. Even if he's in a dirty condition and state, and Allah Ta'ala inspires him and he does tawbah in that state, then he gets the tawbah in that state and position. Don't wait for a place, don't wait for having a bath, don't wait for doing ghusl, don't wait for a certain time. Understand that Allah Ta'ala has given you the jolt of His rahmah, mercy, and my life is being made now. Say straight away, Allah, I am living at the moment in the wrong life and shaitan is trying to divert me. No, Allah, I come to you straight away. For example, you go to a wali of Allah tonight and you take hold of the opportunity. The tawbah of Thursday night is great. People are extracted from hellfire on this night because this is like Laylatul Qadr, the night of Jum'ah. And we should value this. In the night of Jum'ah, the person who dies, he is not accounted on the Day of Judgment. There's no accounting for his deeds. So if someone's heart, Allah Ta'ala instills a feeling that, oh, I want to do tawbah today, let me do tawbah at the hands of Hazrat today. Remember this. Remember this. Don't wilt. Don't turn back. Don't have a second thought. Straight away run to the tawbah, because Allah Ta'ala has instilled inspiration into your heart that He wants to include you in the name of His wali's list. Stand straight away and do tawbah. Sometimes you're in a gathering, you suddenly feel remorse and regret, you want to do tawbah, you want to have a... But then you think, what will people say? No, if I do tawbah today, then tomorrow I'll be weak again, I'll leave the deen again. Wallahi, don't think like this, brothers. You will regret for the rest of your life if you do this. If in a majlis, a gathering, there's a wali of Allah, and you feel from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's inspiration to do tawbah, don't worry about the world, the dunya, shaitan, whispering, don't even think it's hard. Wallahi, I swear by Allah, Allah's rahmah will come into your life and make your life easy for you to practice the deen. Wherever you are in the world and listening to what I'm saying, wherever this message of mine is delivering, sisters, brothers, friends, and women folk and men folk, do tawbah straight away. It's the night of Jummah today, a great night, an elevated night. And if it's coming into your heart right now to do tawbah, look, Hafi, rahmatullahi, he became successful in the... Like you can say, in the liquor house, he did tawbah, he said, Allah forgive me, Allah Ta'ala forgave him and elevated his status. So Allah Ta'ala proved, O friend of Allah, I've sent you. O my friend, I'm not sending you for your sake. Rather, I've given him such a reward that he does not even need anyone for tawbah. I made him do tawbah in the liquor house. How a person becomes close to Allah and he doesn't need any means to do tawbah to Allah. What did he have? He had adab manners. He had adab manners. Save yourself from disrespect. Don't become the animals. Don't be jahil and don't speak like jahils. We do dhikr. We're the people of dhikr. Look at the gathering. Look at yourself. Look at the gathering that you are benefiting from. Who are you sitting in front of? Sit with aql. Think about what you're doing. Where are you sitting? Who are you sitting in front of? Where there are more rewards, there are also more punishments for disrespect, for having no adab. So in the majlis of Allah, look at the great, great rewards we attain. Where a person reaches. When Hafi left that liquor house, he said, why have you come, O wali of Allah? He said, you are the wali. Allah Ta'ala has sent me here. He's chosen you as his friend. This was the effect on him. His life changed. He stood there and said, Hafi, now look at adab manners, how it comes into a person. He said, Hafi, Nafi, remember his barefoot. It's all his life, Bashar, Hazrat Bashar, rahmatullahi, who was Hafi, barefoot at the time. As soon as he left in that state, he stayed in that same state. He said, I did tawbah in the barefoot state. Allah Ta'ala preferred me in this drunken barefoot state. So this Hafi, until I die, I will never wear any shoes or sandals. Because for me, this whole earth and the dust of the earth is azeem and great. It is the kingdom of the king of the king. This is the earth, the sand, the dust. And why should the slave of Allah wear the sandals on the dust of the Lord of the universe? Look at the understanding that came into his life. The muhabbat, the love. Does the adab come from books? Does tawbah come from madrasas? It doesn't come from anywhere. When Allah Ta'ala loves an individual, then automatically the adab and the right way of life comes into his life. My brothers, Allah's name is great. It is lofty. It is high. How sad, without any struggling, without us striving, without us making any effort or doing any specialties, Allah Ta'ala has allowed His great name to come into our hearts. Naqshband. Allah has attached us to a great silsila. Allah Ta'ala has allowed His great name to come into our heart. And He's got the wujud and this life. We run around in the world blind, running after dunya, materialism, morning and night is marakama, and we don't come, we don't sit, we don't do dhikr, we don't imagine, we're just running around looking for the luxuries of the world. Can we answer for this in the Day of Judgment? Such a precious pearl, the dhikr of Allah, the name of Allah. Bismillah, I cannot mention the beauties and the blessings and the mercies and the rewards of Bismillah. The amount of fadail in Bismillah Rahmani, I don't have the time now to explain to you. How many hadith, how many explanations, how many ma'rifahs we can, how we can attain Allah's ma'rifah through Bismillah. I don't have the time. I don't have that opportunity now to explain. And Allah, we don't consider it as great and weighty. And so easily Allah has given us the name, His name. And He gave it to Bashar in the liquor house. And he became such a great wali of Allah that he was a drunken person. People used to swear at him and ridicule him. Once he went home, look how his maqam changed. He went home, was sitting on his roof, with an illuminated face. He said, without my permission, you've come into my home? He said, I don't need permission. I'm Khizr alayhi salam. I have come to see you to do your ziyarah, to see this friend of Allah. He had this maqam. The Khizr himself came to meet him. What was he before? What was he before? And why did he get tawbah? Due to the name of Allah. He loved the name of Allah. He had adab. So have you not got the name of Allah? Have you not learned the name of Allah? Have you not understood what is the ma'rif of Allah and how to get to Allah Ta'ala's nearness? What is it? How much maraqbah do we do? How much dhikr do we do? Tell me. How much heart do we attach to the name of Allah? How much of our hearts, in the depths of our hearts, do we do? We say, oh no, this many dhikr, this much tasbih I have to do, is too hard for me. Subhanallah, this is such a beautiful, beloved, nice, smooth name that a person, he will spend his whole life for this name. His whole life he will sacrifice for this name. He'll spend his time. That there was, in Makkah, when it's cold, then it is cold, and people have the blankets wrapped around them. And Hazrat was sitting with the cotton, like malmal qurda kameez. And someone came, he said, I've got my blanket, I'll give it to you. Hazrat, take this blanket and wrap it around yourself. And wrap it around you so you'll be warm. So he smiled and looked back. He said, you keep your blanket just once with the heart, say Allah to me. Just say Allah's name in it. He said, Allah. Soon as he said Allah, from top to bottom, the sheikh started to sweat. Allah's name, we don't know how to recite it. The people who are the walis of Allah, they don't have hunger or thirst due to the name of Allah. What answer will we give to Allah? Such a great wealth Allah Ta'ala has given to us. Such a name full of barakah and blessings and mercy. Allah's name is so full of blessings. The people who recite Allah Ta'ala's name, Allah Ta'ala promises, I elevate you so high that everything in your life will be full of barakah and blessings. After death there will be barakah. During your life there will be barakah. To your generations after you, there will be barakah due to the name of Allah's barakah. So my brothers, value this, appreciate this. This is a dhikr gathering with the fadl of Allah, with the blessings and mercy of Allah. We sit here with His permission. He's given us such a great dhikr. We have a nice Mercedes and we love it. We clean it, we wash it, we shine it. We look at His tires, petrol, the fuel tank, the car, the seats, BMW. I've got a Merc or nice new house, detached and luxurious. And the person who has the name of Allah, if Allah gives somebody His name, in his heart Allah Ta'ala's name has come. Tell me about that person. And we fuss even then? Never fuss, my brothers. We have to answer to Allah, save yourself from the sins, and totally with abundance recite the name of Allah. Totally recite every name of Allah. Every time we recite the name of Allah, Allah will give the reward for every recitation. And such a reward that we cannot imagine. Allah's ismi zat, His personal name. Allah will say, you said my name this many times. You said my name this many times. Every reality is not made dahir apparent in this world. Allah has concealed things. The rewards are concealed. They're hidden, they're secrets. Oh my brothers. So my brothers, may Allah Ta'ala give us all appreciation and value for His name. These majalis gatherings, may Allah give us qadr and value for these dhikr gatherings. And there are more we can do, effort and strive for this. It's not enough. Allah Ta'ala's dhikr, the whole universe is immersed in dhikr. Wala dhikr Allahi Akbar. Allah Ta'ala's dhikr is the greatest action. Recite Durood Sharif.